Before God even created a single thing, he chose to save me. It's an amazing thought, isn't it? And there were many things God had to do to make it happen. A big one, of course, was him deciding I'd be born in Brisbane in 1988. Another big one was this. In 1992, my mum applied to study education at uni. She was hoping to be accepted at Griffith Uni in Mount Gravatt. She had to sit a test, and she scored just below the level she needed to in order to get in. The score she got meant she could go to uni in a place called Harvey Bay, a place she'd never heard of before. If she'd got just one or two more answers correct, we would have stayed in Brisbane. But instead, we moved up to Harvey Bay, and that's where I grew up. The difference between whether I was going to grow up in Brisbane or in Harvey Bay was determined by a seemingly insignificant one or two answers on a test. Another big thing that happened was in 1996. Mum somehow found out about a small Christian school. I don't know how she found out about it. It was a very small school, only about 50 students at the time, and I'm pretty sure they didn't advertise. But somehow, God made sure she found out about it. Because it was through this school that God drew me to himself. It was at this school that I heard the gospel. And sometime in my early teen years, God opened my heart and enabled me to believe it. I put my trust in Jesus alone to save me and surrendered my life to him. Humanly speaking, if just one of those things and many other things didn't happen, I wouldn't be where I am today. But God had it all planned out. When he chose to save me before he created the world, he also planned exactly how he'd do it. And it's the same with you, brothers and sisters. Each one of you has a unique story. Maybe you can think of some of the bigger events in your life, fork in the road type moments, where if things had gone differently, you wouldn't be where you are today. But there are also a million tiny details as well. It's mind-blowing to think about. But God had it all planned out, even the tiniest details. If your faith is in Christ, then God chose to save you before he created the world. And he planned exactly how he'd do it. There's a story in Acts 16 about how God opens the heart of a woman named Lydia. And thanks to Luke, the writer of Acts, sharing lots of historical details with us, we see just how much had to happen for God to save Lydia. The story begins with Paul and his fellow gospel workers taking Jesus' Great Commission seriously. Let's look at verse 6. And they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. Paul and his fellow missionaries are traveling around preaching the gospel. And Luke tells us they're doing it in the region of Phrygia and Galatia. But he also tells us why they're in that particular region. The Holy Spirit kept them from preaching the word in Asia. So they were planning to preach the gospel in Asia, and no doubt that's where they believed God wanted them to go. And no doubt they made this decision after much prayer, but the Holy Spirit stopped them from doing it. Now, Luke doesn't tell us exactly how the Holy Spirit stopped them, but he makes it very clear that's the reason they're preaching the gospel in Phrygia and Galatia. Then they try to move on to Bithynia and preach the gospel there. But again, the Holy Spirit stops them. Let's look at verses 7 and 8. And when they had come up to Mysia, They attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So, passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas. So Paul and co. try to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus won't let them. On a side note, the Spirit of Jesus is the Holy Spirit. This is just one of the many verses which prove that Jesus is God and that God is a Trinity, one God existing in three persons. But the Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, stops Paul and co. from entering Bithynia. Again, we're not told exactly how he stops them, but because he does stop them, they decide to go to Troas. And while they're there, Paul receives a vision. Let's look at verses 9 and 10. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there, urging him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go on into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So God had closed several doors in order to get Paul and his mates to Troas, to where God planned to give Paul a vision. Paul sees a vision of a man begging him to come to Macedonia, which is straight across the sea from Troas. Paul obviously tells his mates about it, and they all get ready straight away to head to Macedonia because they believe God is calling them to preach the gospel there. Then Luke describes their journey for us. Let's look at verses 11 and 12. So, setting sail from Troas, we made a direct voyage to Samothrace, and the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in this city some days. Luke's description of their journey is quite detailed, isn't it? Some scholars have tried to argue that Luke basically made up most of the book of Acts, that it's fiction. But one of the big arguments against such a notion is just how descriptive Luke is. And you'll also notice he's an eyewitness at this point. He's joined Paul and his fellow gospel workers. Luke is now travelling with them. And we notice this because Luke starts using the word "we." So he's narrating what he himself is experiencing. So we shouldn't be surprised that the details are so descriptive and accurate. Now, when Paul and his friends arrive in Philippi, we're told that they go to a specific place to share the gospel. Let's look at verse 13. And on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to the riverside, where we supposed there was a place of prayer, and we sat down and spoke to the women who had come together. Paul and his friends deliberately go outside the city gate to the river and on the Sabbath day because they believe they'll find a group of people praying to the God of Israel. And that's exactly what they find. They find a group of women and they begin telling them the good news about Jesus. You see, these women believe in the God of Israel and they came to pray to him. But they haven't heard the news that Jesus is the Messiah, that he's come to save his people from their sins, and that they need to put their trust in him to be saved. Now, we don't know how many women are there and hear the gospel, but we're told that one of them believes it. Let's look at verse 14. One who heard us was a woman named Lydia, from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods who was a worshipper of God. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. One of those listening is a woman named Lydia, and we're told that she's a worshipper of God. Now, what that means is that she's a Gentile who worships the God of Israel. But now that Jesus has come, The only way to truly worship the God of Israel is through Jesus. He said that he's the only way to God. So Lydia needs to hear about Jesus. And she needs to put her trust in Jesus if she's going to be a true worshipper of the one true God. God, of course, knows this, and in his grace, he sends Paul and his fellow gospel workers to tell Lydia the good news about Jesus. And we're told that God opens her heart as she listens to Paul's words. That's the final step in this process. And it's the most crucial one. Because if God doesn't open someone's heart, the gospel falls on deaf ears. We're told that Paul and his friends share the gospel with a group of women, but we're only told that one of them believes it. They all hear the gospel. But in his grace, God chose to open Lydia's heart to enable her to believe it. Now let's recap all the events that happened so that Lydia could hear the gospel and so that God could open her heart to believe it. Paul and his mates wanted to preach the gospel in Asia, but the Holy Spirit stopped them and directed them to preach throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia. Then they tried to go to Bithynia. But again, the Holy Spirit stopped them and directed them to go to Troas. Then God gave Paul a vision and directed him to go to Macedonia, which is across the sea from Troas. But Macedonia is a huge province, and God directed them to go to the city of Philippi. But Philippi is a big city, and God directed them to go to a particular place at a particular time. And God ensured that Lydia would be there so that she could hear the gospel and so that he could open her heart to believe it. Humanly speaking, if just one of those things didn't happen, Lydia wouldn't have heard the gospel, she wouldn't have been saved. But God chose to save her before he created the world. And he decided exactly how he'd do it. Now the story ends with baptism and hospitality. Let's look at verse 15. And after she was baptized, and her household as well, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." And she prevailed upon us. What an exciting day. Lydia and the members of her household are baptized. They receive the sign of God's covenant, his promise to save those who trust in Jesus. And we see immediate fruit from Lydia's conversion. She opens up her home to Paul and his fellow missionaries. She asks them to come and stay at her house. No doubt her heart's filled with love for them because they're the ones who shared the message of salvation with her. And no doubt she wants to thank them by showing hospitality. And I'm sure she wants to hear more about Jesus too. It's a beautiful story, isn't it? It's a story about the God who opens hearts. And it reminds us about how God opened our hearts. Brothers and sisters. So our first point of application is this: praise. Praise God that he opened our hearts. He didn't have to. We didn't deserve for him to. We deserve to be like the other women who were with Lydia, who heard the gospel, but as far as we know, they rejected it. But for some reason, not because of anything in us, but simply because God chose to show us grace, he opened our hearts. When we heard the gospel, he enabled us to believe it. When we heard the greatest news this world has ever known and ever will know, God opened our hearts so that we could believe it. He opened our eyes to see him for who he really is. Infinitely glorious and beautiful and valuable and wonderful. To him be thanks and praise and honor and glory forever and ever. Now, the second point of application is this. Persevere. Persevere in sharing the gospel. Our God is the God who opens hearts. He can save anyone. When I think about the God who opens hearts, it encourages me to persevere in praying for people who don't know Jesus and to pray for opportunities to share the gospel with people and that God would open their hearts. So let me encourage all of us, brothers and sisters, to persevere in sharing the gospel. Let's keep praying for people who don't know Jesus. Let's keep praying for God to give us opportunities to share the gospel and that he'd enable us to look for opportunities to share the gospel. And let's keep praying for God to give us boldness to take those opportunities because he is the God who opens hearts. Let's pray. Father, we praise you that you are the God who opens hearts. We praise you that you opened our heart if our faith is in Christ. We had no desire for you. We wanted nothing to do with you. But in your grace, you reached out and took hold of us. You rescued us. You opened our heart because if you didn't, we would still be rejecting the gospel to this very day, hardened by our sin. Father, we will praise you forever and ever that you opened our hearts and that you drew us to yourself and that you enabled us to experience the fullness of joy that comes from knowing you, the only true God. Father, I pray that if there's anyone here this morning who, as they've heard the preaching of your word, has been convicted, that they know that you've never opened their heart, that their heart remains closed to you because of their sin. Father, I pray that in your grace you would open their hearts this very day, just like you opened Lydia's, just like you opened ours, in the same way, by your grace. Father, these people have heard the gospel preached this morning. They've heard what the Lord Jesus has done. Father, open their heart to receive it, to receive you with joy. Do this miracle, we pray, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.